Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The verses I would like us this morning, with the Lord's help, to consider are verses 36, 37, and 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Issachar or Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph brought the Christ child to the temple to be circumcised and to present him to the Lord, they came into contact with two very pious spiritual individuals. They were first introduced to a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Simeon had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. In the day that Christ had been brought into the temple, Simeon's waiting was over. Jesus Christ was the consolation of Israel. And as Simeon rejoiced over seeing the Christ, the promised Messiah, another person arrived upon the scene just at that very moment. For we read in verse 38, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Now, apart from Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, Anna was the first woman to behold the face of the promised Messiah. She, along with Simeon, had succeeded in keeping themselves unspotted from the world, because at that time in Jerusalem, many had neglected the Lord and indeed the worship of the Lord, and had departed from the temple. But Simeon and Anna had remained faithful, and they were found in the temple when the Lord Jesus was brought by Joseph and Mary to that place to be present in the temple, waiting for that day when the Lord Jesus would come suddenly to his temple. They want us this morning to consider this woman, Anna. They want us to consider those things that we might glean from her life, and I trust apply them to our own lives. We've been informed that Anna was of the tribe of Asher. So this tells us something about her past. She was of the tribe of Asher. Asher was the son of Jacob. His mother was Zilpah. We know that from Genesis 30, verse 13. Asher himself had 5 children. 4 boys and 1 girl, Genesis 46, verse 17. Later, when Israel entered into the land of promise and they took possession of Canaan, Asher was 5th in line to receive his portion of the land. We know that from Joshua 19 and verse 24. Something else about Asher. We find that numerically, the tribe of Asher was the 5th largest tribe of all of the children of Israel. We know that from Numbers chapter 26 and verse 47. So we see that the number 5 crops up again and again and again with reference to the tribe of Asher. Now we know that 5 is the number of graves. And so when you look at the tribe of Asher, we are reminded of the grace of God. It is therefore perhaps no surprise that when Phanuel, the father of Anna, came to naming his daughter, that he indeed named her Anna. Because Anna means gracious. And so Phanuel was reminded of the grace of God in his family. And he wanted to recognize the grace of God, and he did so by naming his daughter Anna. Now there's something else about Anna's past. Not only have her past, but also her parents. We don't know much about Phanuel other than we're given his name. We know nothing of Anna's mother. But her father was called Phanuel. This is equivalent to an Old Testament place name. It is the same as Peniel. We find it in the Old Testament, of course, where Jacob wrestled with the Lord, or rather the Lord wrestled with Jacob. And there he broke Jacob. And there in that very place, Jacob afterward testified in Genesis 32, verse 30, I have seen God face to face. And that's what Phanuel means. It means a vision of God or the face of God. And so here we have Anna been given that name, which means gracious. And her father's name is Phanuel, the same as Peniel in the Old Testament, which means the face of God. And Jacob and Peniel said, I have seen the face of God. Now you see how this ties in with Anna. Because Anna, according to the grace of God, was given the opportunity, was given the privilege, was given the honor of looking into the face of God when she saw the Christ child. Because as she entered a temple at that moment in time, she saw there in the arms of Simeon the Lord Jesus Christ. And she looked into the face of Christ, and she was looking into the very face of God. Now there's something else here with regard to Anna. We notice also her purity. Yes, for 84 years, Anna had been a widow, and as a widow, she had served God with fastings and prayers in the temple. She served the Lord night and day. So we see that Anna was a very holy individual, pious individual. She loved the Lord. And at a time when there was great promiscuity in the city of Jerusalem and many had departed from the true worship of God, we see that Anna was a young woman who had kept herself pure and kept herself true to the Lord. And how this must have pleased her parents and pleased Phanuel, her father. Next, we notice her position. We are told that she was a prophetess. Now, what does this mean? Does it mean we really do have women preachers in the church? Well, let's not jump to that conclusion. Prophetesses were those that were, certainly as far as Anna was concerned, was one who would have had a great knowledge of the Scriptures, and therefore imparted her knowledge to the other women who would have been there attending the temple. In other words, you could say that Anna was a teacher, and she taught the other women that were present in the temple. That was Anna's position. She was a teacher, and she taught those who would go up to the temple, the other women, perhaps the younger women in the temple. And there she would teach them. That was her position. But then we learn something more about Anna. We learn about her privilege. Anna, as we have pointed out already, was given the privilege of being the first woman to see the incarnate Christ. A tremendous privilege indeed. A privilege indeed, so as we, like Anna, have this very Lord's Day gone up to the house of the Lord, may we also have the same privilege. May we, with the eye of faith, also see Christ. May that be our blessing today. May it be that which will fill our hearts with joy today. May we also see the Lord Jesus as we have gone to the Lord's house and come into the Lord's temple today. May we have done so with that prayer upon our lips, sir. We would see Jesus. So let us learn something more about this dear woman, Anna. First of all, let us consider Anna and her widowhood. We see from these verses that even the choicest saints are called upon at times to enter into very deep valleys. And here for Anna, she was called upon to enter a very deep valley, a valley of sorrow, valley of bereavement, valley of separation. Because after 7 years of married life, the Lord saw fit to take away her husband. That then would draw our attention to her desolation. We're told that Anna had only been married for 7 years when her husband died. She lived with her husband for 7 years, and she lived without her husband for 84 years. In other words, she had lived 12 times longer without her husband than she had lived with her husband. Surely this highlights for us this dear woman's desolation. She had, after 7 years of married life, suffered a great loss. And this, no doubt, had led to a state of great loneliness. And this, I believe, is highlighted for us by the way that we are introduced to Anna. Look at how we're introduced to her. Verse 36. And there was One Anna. There in Jerusalem, oh, there may have been other Annas. But this particular Anna is highlighted for us in this way as being one Anna. She was alone. And I have no doubt she felt her loneliness, and surely this way she is introduced to us by the Spirit of God highlights for us her isolation. How often we have found ourselves in a state of loneliness and isolation. We have at times felt like Anna. We have felt at times as though we have stood alone. We felt our isolation. We felt our loneliness. We felt our solitude. Just as Anna had done at that time. There was times when David was very lonely, and this in many ways is quite amazing. You think of David. David was king of Israel. David had men and women who attended to his every need. David led a nation. David had thousands who knew him, thousands who served him. And yet there were those times when David felt as though he was the loneliest man on the face of the earth. Dear child of God, I'm sure we have all been there at some time or another. Turn to Psalm 102. There we read in Psalm 102 about David's loneliness. Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. And let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. My, there's nothing that makes you feel more alone than a day of trouble. David felt his trouble, and in his trouble he felt his loneliness. And he says, incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. And as we have pointed out before, the wilderness is not the place for a pelican. And David just felt like a pelican in the wilderness, completely out of place. And then he goes on to say, I am like an owl of the desert. Desert's not the place for an owl either. And then he says in verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone. upon the housetop. I am as a sparrow alone. David felt his loneliness. And on one other occasion, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Take those words, no man cared for my soul. Those words may be translated another way. No man cared for my soul, or no man sought after my soul. In other words, David was saying, no man cared enough for me to seek after my soul, to inquire after my well-being. And because of that, David felt his loneliness. Dear child of God, we have felt it too. In times of sickness, in times of sorrow, in times of separation. That's how Anna felt. She felt her desolation. But what did Anna's desolation lead to? It led to her devotion. What does our text say regarding Anna? Verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. See there that Anna's desolation led to her devotion. It would appear from our text that after the loss of her husband, Anna became more and more devoted to her Lord. This is how she coped with her loneliness. I believe that. I believe this is how Anna coped with her loneliness. I believe this was Anna's cure for her loneliness. She simply gave her all to the Lord. You have there the reason for her devotion. The loss of her husband was the reason for Anna's devotion to the Lord. And sometimes, believer, the Lord deals with us in that way, in that very fashion. Sometimes He will cause us to suffer a great loss, in order that He might lead us into a closer walk with Himself and we become more devoted to the Lord. We're all acquainted with and familiar with the story of Joseph Scriven and how Scriven suffered two great tragic losses in his life. When in Northern Ireland, on the eve of his marriage, his sweetheart and he went out riding on horseback, and on that night she fell over her horse and was killed on the very eve of their wedding day. Then he emigrated to Canada and settled down here in Port Hope. Met another young lady. They once again set their day for their wedding. And up there in Rice Lake, 3 months before their wedding day, she was baptized because the waters were so cold. She got pneumonia, and short time after that, she also died. Two great tragedies in the life of Joseph Scriven. What was he going to do? How was he going to cope with such a loss? Well, earlier on, after his first loss, he was able to write those words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." He was drawn nearer to the Lord when he wrote that hymn. He was drawn nearer to the Lord after his first great loss. Then when he came to Canada and came to Port Hope and suffered another loss, what was he to do then? Well, all who know about the life of Joseph Scriven know that after he suffered that second loss, he accepted it as the will of God for his life. From that day on, he dedicated his life to Christ and sold out to the Lord. Spent the rest of his days preaching the gospel, distributing gospel tracts, and helping the poor, and serving the Master. It was his devotion to Christ. And it all came about through a great loss. Here we have Anna, and she's lost her husband. And from the day she lost her husband, she goes to the temple, and there she spends the rest of her days, 84 years, devoted to Christ. Oh, dear child of God, this is what the Lord calls for on our behalf. He wants us to live lives that are devoted. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Oh, may we devote ourselves to Christ and to the service of the Lord. That's the reason for her devotion. And then we have also her realization and her devotion. Anna, being a prophetess, being a woman who had a knowledge of the Scriptures, she would have realized that when she felt her loneliness and felt the great weight of her loss, perhaps felt that no one else cared for her or understood how she felt, she would have known, she would have realized that the Lord cared for her. She would have known that as a widow, she had a special place in the Lord's heart. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Psalm 68, verse 5, we read, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." So we see the widow has a special place in the Lord's heart. The Lord's heart goes out to the widow. And then we read in Psalm 146, verse 9, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow." He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Proverbs 15, verse 25. "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." And I believe Anna, as a prophetess, as a woman who had a knowledge of the Scriptures, would have been aware of the Lord and his love and his compassion for widows. And I have no doubt that Anna, knowing that the Lord loved her, then what else could you do but love the Lord back by devoting her life and surrendering her life to Him? That's what she did. It was as if Anna said, "The Lord loves me, and I want all to know that I love Him. And I will show all that I love Him by devoting my life to Him." And for 84 years, she lived a devoted life. Dear believer, the Lord loves us. And surely we recognize that today, and we're aware of that, that He loves us. And since the Lord loves us, let us then love Him in return and devote our all to Him. As Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth me. Over sin, there's nothing else I can do. How can I withhold my all? How can I withhold my life from the Lord? He loves me. His love constrains me to give my all to Him. The love of Christ constrains me. Does the love of Christ not constrain us to devote our all to Him? So we have the reason for her devotion and the realization in her devotion, and also her remedy was her devotion. After losing her husband of 7 years, how was Anna going to cope with this great loss? Well, I believe here she found the remedy. The remedy for her loneliness. The remedy for her loss. The remedy was to devote her life to her God and to her Lord. She gave her all to Him, serving in the temple night and day. This was how she coped with her great loss. She kept busy in the Lord's work. It was then, perhaps, that she realized there was only one person worth living for. There was only one person worth serving. And that was the Lord Himself. So for 84 years, she served the Lord night and day, departing not from the temple. And oh, dear child of God, may we serve the Lord with the same sense of devotion and surrender, even as Anna did. You notice also, not only her devotion and her desolation, but we notice her death. We are told that after her husband's death, she served the Lord for 84 years. Now, she had been married for 7. Now, you add 84 and 7, that would make her 91. But then, what age was she when she got married? Now, if you add that all up, that means that Anna was over 100 years old. She was over 100 years old, and she's still serving the Lord. She's still devoted to Christ. You know, as the years go by, we may be tempted to think, oh, well, I better slacken off, and maybe there's not just so much for me to do now for the Lord. Well, this proves to us, it doesn't matter what age we are, there's plenty to do for the Lord. We're told that she departed not from the temple, serving the Lord night and day. Fasting, prayers. She didn't depart from the temple. She wasn't called to be a missionary. She wasn't called to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth, but she was called to serve, and she served the Lord inside the temple. She didn't even go outside Jerusalem. And she was a woman of great age. Even in her latter days, she realized there was still a work for her to do. So you see, in the Lord's work, age doesn't matter. Someone may be in middle age or a little after that, they go out and look for employment somewhere. And we know that age is taken into consideration. And people will say, well, at my age, how can I get a job? Well, that's not the case in the Lord's work. Praise His name. Age doesn't matter. You read the last edition of The Truth for Youth and the young people that went out to Brazil and met up with their brother Bill Wood. And they met with Dr. Bill Woods and they met with another missionary there. And there in the 60s and 70s, he's still in the mission field. Oh, he's been home quite a few times, but he always goes back to the mission field. The Lord never told him once, you're too old to serve me. It doesn't matter in the Lord's. The Lord gives us health and the strength to carry on. Why not use that health and use that strength to serve the Master? Even as Anna did. Why, Moses was still leading the children of Israel when the Lord called him home and he was 120. And Caleb, when Caleb said to Joshua, give me this mountain. My, Caleb was ready for any battle. He was ready for war again when he was 85 years of age. And when Paul went up from Caesarea up to Jerusalem, and God's people were concerned about Paul going to Jerusalem and tried to dissuade him from going. One disciple was determined to go with him. We read about him in Acts 21, verse 16. His name's Mnason of Cyprus. And how is he described? He's described as an old disciple. He's described as an old disciple. He didn't say, oh, Paul, I can't go. I'm too old. My days of service are over. Not at all. He still went with Paul. He was still ready for the battle and ready for the fight. There was still a fire burning in his soul. So it was with Anna. 84 years of age. Or 84 years a widow. She must have been over 100. And she's still devoted to Christ. still serving the Lord in the temple night and day with fastings and prayers. So we have Anna and her widowhood. Then you have Anna and her worship. Let us now take a closer look at Anna and the time she spent serving God in the temple. I cannot help but notice her steadfastness. It would appear that when she became a widow, as already said, it appears that she just gave her life and her all to serving the Lord Jesus. You notice just how steadfast she was. Because it says that she departed not from the temple. This I find to be most commendable, because so often when people suffer a great loss, they become very bitter against the Lord. This dear woman had only been married for 7 years, and suddenly her husband was taken away from her. She could have become very bitter. Left the temple. She didn't. Instead, she gave her all to the Lord. She became even more devoted than ever she had been before. Indeed, she went into the temple and she served the Lord, and it says she departed not from the temple for 84 years. There's a woman who was steadfast. Now that's what you like to see, isn't it, in God's people, steadfastness. That's what Paul was wanting amongst the believers at Corinth. He called upon them to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul says, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why, the Lord has never shortchanged one of His servants. He's given their all and they've been steadfast to the Lord. The Lord has rewarded them and rewarded them handsome. For as much as they know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you think of Anna. 84 years a widow. 84 years living a life of devotion and surrender to our Lord. And my, she was well rewarded. She was the first woman to see the face of the incarnate Christ. She was well rewarded. Believer, the Lord rewards His servants well. Let us be steadfast. Whenever Anna lost her husband, she went into the temple, and there she served in the temple, departed not day or night for 84 years. People depart from the temple. Their next step is to depart from the Lord. Next, we notice not only her steadfastness, but her service. We are told that while she was in the temple, she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, we're not told exactly what Anna did in the temple for 84 years. But one thing we are told about her service, we're told about the focus of her service. What does it say? It says she served God. The Lord was her focus. What did she do in the temple? We don't know. How do you think of it? Here's a woman who has served the Lord for 84 years in the temple, and we don't even know what she did. What was the service?
that she carried out in the temple. We don't know.
In other words, she did something that nobody knows about.
But she kept her focus. Her focus was on the Lord. And in God's work, there'll be those times we'll be called upon to carry out those duties and to perform those services that no one else will know anything about.
They will go unrecognized
by those around us, but they will be taken note of by the Lord. And for 84 years, Anna did not receive any recognition for what she did, but all during that time, she kept her focus on the Lord. And now, whenever you're doing something, you're carrying out some service, and you get discouraged, you think it's all in vain, you say to yourself, what's the point? What's the use of carrying on? Sure, no one cares, no one knows what I'm doing. Just remember, Anna. Not on herself, but on the Lord. You have the focus of her service, and then you have here just how fervent she was in her service. It is very evident that when Anna lost her husband, she gave herself completely over to the Lord and to his service. We read that she served God with fastings and prayers. Now, whatever it was she was doing in the temple, she believed that it couldn't be done without fastings and prayers. It may not have been some tremendous act or work that she did there. We're not told what it was. It wasn't some earth-shattering duty that she performed. But she believed that what she was doing needed to be accompanied by fasting and prayer. She was fervent. She did. You remember the disciples that met the Lord after he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration? And the man with the son who was possessed of an evil spirit came to the Lord and asked the Lord to cast out the evil spirit. He says, I have taken him to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out. And after the Lord had taken control of the situation and cast out the evil spirit, the disciples asked the Lord afterwards why they couldn't cast them out. And the Lord said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The Lord was telling them, you should have been engaged and engaged your heart. Prayer and fasting. Afflicting the body, afflicting the heart, and giving yourself to prayer. That's what Anna did. For 84 years, she fasted and prayed and served. My, it was worth it all. It was worth it all because she saw the And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I notice also that she was faithful in her service. One of the most remarkable things about Anna and her service, she was still serving the Lord, which is well past her 100th year. I believe the Spirit of God has included those words, "He departed not from the temple," to emphasize the fact that while others may have departed from the temple over those 84 years, Anna had remained steadfast and she was still serving. And now she was well past her 100th year and she's still serving. She hasn't departed from the cause of Christ. She hasn't departed from the cause of the Lord. She's still serving and she's serving the Lord right to the end of her days. Oh, believer, what a way to go out. What a way to end our days. Still serving the Lord. May we end our days that same way. That even when we come to the swelling of Jordan and we are about to breathe our last, may even in death may we still be crying, "Behold, behold the Lamb." Oh, how faithful was her. To have sincerity. Since Anna had served the Lord for 84 years, no one could question her sincerity. But I believe it is highlighted there in those words that she served God with fastings and prayers. She wasn't playing around. She was dedicated, surrendered, devoted to the Lord. She prayed and fasted and fasted and prayed. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," Solomon said, "do it with thy might." Sometimes we end there in quoting that verse. We don't quote the rest of it. We go so far as saying, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it within thy might." And what does the rest of the verse say? "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou wast." Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. In other words, what Solomon was saying. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, because whenever you come to the grave, your work will be over. And whatsoever you do, do it now. Do it with all your might now, while you have time, while you are in time, because the night cometh when no man can work. Do it with all your might now. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. Why you still have time." That's what Anna did. And finally you have Anna and her witness. "She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." First of all, Anna was rewarded by Christ. Anna, like Simeon, was one of the few who lived every day waiting for the coming Messiah. That's very evident as far as Simeon is concerned. And I believe it is evident here as far as Anna is concerned. She lived every day knowing the Scriptures, knowing that the Lord would come suddenly to his temple one day. And that's how she lived. And she lived every day for the Lord. And every day she was in the temple until that day came, when she saw Christ. And the Lord rewarded her. What a way to live. To live every day in the light of the Lord's coming. When we will receive our reward. She was rewarded by Christ. And then we see Anna and her rejoicing over Christ. My, there's nothing gladdens the heart of the servant of God than a view of the Lord Jesus. Because we're told she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And then you have Anna and her report about Christ. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him. Her work still wasn't finished. She spake of Him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. She was well past her 100th birthday. She went out after having seen Christ, and she told everybody to look for redemption in Jerusalem. The Savior has come. She's after souls. She's a soul winner. And she's long past her 100th birthday. Oh, may the Lord give us the heart of Anna and the spirit of Anna. And may we also go out and tell others Savior has come, and He will save all who come unto Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Father and eternal God, we come before Thee in the Savior's name. We bless Thee, Lord, for Thy coming into this world. Oh, what joy, Lord, Thy coming did bring. We think, Lord, of the joy that was amongst the angels in heaven when they announced Thy birth, and the joy that was in the hearts of the shepherds and of the wise men and of Simeon and of Anna, and the joy that is in our hearts also. Oh, gracious Lord, we pray for others who know nothing of the joy of the Lord. We pray, our God, that soon they will come to know Christ and the joy and the happiness that He alone gives. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts today. Gracious God, may we be like Anna. And, oh, Lord, may we indeed serve Thee steadfastly. Live that surrendered life devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us into a life of devotion and surrender to the Lord. Now, our gracious Father, be with us as we leave Thy house. And take us each one now to our homes in safety and with Thy blessing resting upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore, until that day when we see Him and all the toils of life will be repaid, when we receive just one glimpse of Christ. Dear and sweet name we pray. Amen.